Hey, everybody. Thanks for jumping on again this week. What a delight to have you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be sharing God's Word. Always a privilege and an honor to be welcomed into people's cars, homes, into their earbuds at the gym, and to be sharing things from the Lord, from God. I'm Phil Pringle, your host, and this is the C3 Church Global Podcast. We are talking today all things prophetic with Tammy Edwards and Vicky Simpson.
Well, hi.
And I'm really glad to have you guys in here. Thanks for coming.
It's great to be here.
And Tammy is something of a new voice in this arena. Vicky is something of a more mature, well-known
old voice.
voice in this arena. And I've been prophesying for pretty much since I got filled with the Holy Spirit, which was the day I got saved. Yeah. And I've found that prophesying is like a sign of being filled with the Spirit. I mean, I know that the traditional Pentecostal position has been speaking in tongues, but I'd say something vocal, something that is spoken that brings encouragement to other people is prophesying. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, all of you can prophesy. And then he defined what prophesying is in so much as edification, exhortation, and comfort. So I'm not sure that everybody quite understands that. They think that prophecy is only one-dimensional. You've got to sort of pinpoint some specific detail about a person's future and give a date, a time, and a that's a small portion of what prophesying is. Actually is, because Paul says, I'd rather prophesy because it builds the church. So that he obviously isn't talking about just specific details in an individual's life. He's talking about a general culture of encouragement, building up, challenging, and comforting people. So I think that it should be the tone of any prophet. Vicky, I've met prophets who are pretty angry with beards. Happily, they haven't been women.
Send them back to the Old Testament.
And, you know, they're kind of thinking that they're just going to thunder out judgments all day long to be considered
wrong
a prophet.
Wrong paradigm, eh?
What do you think about that?
Yeah, wrong paradigm. Because I think it's sad. So many people still refer so much to the Old Testament when the New Testament, prophet, prophetic, totally different beast.
Right.
Totally, like apples and oranges, totally different covenant. And honestly, I reckon that's the source of so much bad prophetic practice, so much perhaps unnecessary fear and angst around it, is people go back to that model and it's not what the news is about. As you said, you know, build up, cheer up, stir up.
That's I love that. Build up, cheer up, stir up. And it's and it seems to come with either at the best prescriptions or warnings, that, you know, that negative kind of prophecy thing, rather than the idea of encouraging people and releasing them and giving permission.
And also the idea of like revealing people's sin. I remember when I was first getting trained in the 90s, there was still a bit of a leaning to that it was kind of like identifying people's sins and flaws, but it's actually God's kindness that leads people to repentance. So when even people say to me, oh, what's wrong with the prophets these days? You know, there's not enough repentance and call to sin and holiness. But in actual fact, it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance.
Yeah, love covers multitude of sins. He didn't come to expose us. He came
100%.
To redeem us. So, Tammy, in terms of being, you're such a great preacher and a great encourager, very good with words. And I can see how God has really been delighted to raise you up and start to use you in this way.
That's very kind.
Have you yourself found that, you know, prophetic words to you have helped?
Absolutely. I'm probably sitting in front of some of the crucial prophetic words that I've had over the years growing up in this church. But I think God always, he does always want to call us forward. He wants us to call us out from and into the new. And I think that prophetic framing, sometimes in the moment, doesn't fully make sense. Sometimes it's there's a portion of that we hold on to. But I have gone back to many prophetic words over the years and they've held me in seasons, and they've reminded me that God was here before I am now, and he was aware of this and he knew I'd have what it took, what it takes, and it calls me forward into something new. And it's a gift. It's a beautiful treasure to be a part of the giving end
right.
of that for people when you're bringing a word to someone
right.
and you're speaking over them in a way that you know that they'll hold on to that as they walk yeah. through those seasons.
Yeah, because Paul says to Timothy, war a good warfare by the prophecies that went on you. So I know when I've been in a mess,
right.
you know, when I'm can't yeah. tell up from down, and I don't know if I'm Arthur or Martha, and found out I'm neither. But, you know, it's like I need an objective landmark in my spiritual history and landscape. And a prophecy is often that. And I can say, look, I don't know what I'm feeling right now. I got too much static in my head, too much static in my spirit. I'm in the middle of a storm. And so to reach out and see something on the inside of your Bible or wherever on your wall and say, the Lord spoke that to me and I know it's from God. And so I'm hanging on to that. And that sometimes is even a strategy guidance. It might be say, it might be something that enlightens you to stay the path or to make a decision in a particular way. So just those prophecies. Even Peter, I think, he says, give heed to the prophetic word as to a star in the night.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's true. Yes.
And are you a recipient of prophecies, Vicky?
I'll take as much as comes my way. I love it. Not just giving, the receiving.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, you know, there are some that call themselves prophetic. They're not necessarily, but... if it's good, you know, test all things. I'll fast to what is good. That's
right.
That's my practice. If there's something that's releasing life, something that's releasing hope, something right. that's releasing vision, grab hold.
Exactly.
Don't let go. Thank you. I don't even care who it comes through.
Right.
If it's resonating with me, if it's lifting me up, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Pain relief. It pain should bring relief. Pain relief, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Although some people I've found... can, and I've had people misunderstand. So what you've said and what they've heard can be two different things.
That's perennial, sister. You know, that never ends.
Dilemma.
Yeah, right. No, that never ends. And so sometimes it's a good idea to ask somebody to write down what they heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I make it a practice, record it. If I'm saying something to someone, like, I get the phone out, let's record it. Because people can lose sleep over something you didn't even say.
Yeah.
And, or else what doesn't make sense today can make a lot of sense tomorrow. Or what seems to be causing someone grief today because they're joining the dots and they're all the wrong directions, tomorrow is a real comfort.
Yeah. So, you know, I know of people who have considered themselves to be a prophet and I've wondered about their theological base because it's very windy the way they're presenting their message. And If your theology is correct, that God loves people, that God wants to build the church, that he hasn't come to destroy or to uncover and expose, but he's come to actually, if you get that theology right or wrong, it's going to affect the ministry you have on people. And if they're losing sleep because something has come to them that is not correct, it's that... I think definitely the scripture, like you said, prove all things. I think being positive is good, but that doesn't mean you're naive.
Yeah.
And I think proving all things doesn't mean you're cynical.
Yeah.
It means you just need to not swallow hook, line, and sinker anything a person who is saying they're a prophet is saying. I mean, go away and pray about it. And if you're concerned about anything that has been spoken into your world, because these words go deep, it's like before you meet Jesus, people go to palm readers and psychics, and those words that those people speak are so remembered and become guiding words in a person. Well, prophecy is 10 times that in the New Testament because it is a beautiful expression of God's love for a person. And giving them some guidance relating to their personality. And so if if a person has got a private agenda and they just want to say something to a person, but they don't think they'll be listened to if they don't say it unless it's a prophecy, then that's a really dangerous thing to do for yourself and for other people. You know, I mean, I think we've got to be careful in bringing the loving word of God. Now, I've seen you in action, Tam, and you're the kind of person who I'd be thinking, man, it'd be great to get a prophecy from that person because...
Do you want a prophecy, Pastor Phil, today? So no, I'm not feeling it.
I'm not. It's good. I'm not asking. But I want to go through the process of what happens to you when you get a word for somebody.
It's very natural, I've got to say. But I'll go back. When I first met the Lord, I was quite anxious about hearing what God was saying. I very much wanted to hear what God was saying, and I was nervous that I wouldn't hear him clearly. I mean, walk a few decades with the Lord, even a few years, and the more you hear him, the more you understand the sound of his, what he's saying. But I think that desire, it starts with a desire. God, I want to hear what you're saying. And not only for my life, although I do get prophetic words over my own family, over the year to come, but I want to bring prophetic words to the church, to people, to build them up, all what we're saying. And so I think the desire is where you start, like any good gift from God. Desire.
Exactly. Lord, desire spiritual gifts.
Speak to me.
We're told to.
Yeah. And so I think it starts with the desire. And then the boldness comes.
Right.
Everything God gives us, faith is locked up in. And so we must desire, have the faith, God, would you enable me to have the courage to now speak? Now, I have had prophetic words, maybe meeting leading or even in a connect group setting way back, and I have not brought the word because I have felt it wasn't good enough or it wasn't
complete. Isn't that amazing?
Enough, or I hadn't prepared it enough or I hadn't thought of the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe as we start, like any gift in God, as we begin to, in faith, begin the process, speak, start with the small image you see, God actually begins to reveal more and you grow in that boldness.
Oh, yeah.
And you become quicker to respond, which is really the goal. So,
yeah, obedience demands courage. No doubt about it. To obey God calls for faith. I got to tell you a funny story, which wasn't so funny at the time. I was sitting in a prayer meeting in Seoul, Korea, Dr. Cho's prayer meeting in the Olympic Stadium. And as we sat there in the freezing cold, it was raining. And the prayer meeting is over 6 hours long. And it was freezing, completely freezing. I was on the stage. I was to bring a prayer and to be part of the proceedings for the day. Sitting on the stage was the president of South Korea, Dr. Cho. I think Benny Hinn was in that meeting as well. And all of his elders. This is maybe 10, 15 years ago, and I was getting ready for my moment. I had a blanket over me. They'd put heaters in front of us. We were covered from the rain, but the congregation, even though it was raining, they all remained there. It was an astonishing thing. So it came my turn, and as I got up and was going to the platform, the Lord spoke to me. It's clear, and I know the voice of God when I've heard it like that. And he said, tell the sun to shine. He said, prophesy that the sun will shine. Basically, that's what the word to me was. Prophesy that the sun will shine. And I said, God, it's not going to shine. I tried to tell him. You're joking. The sun won't shine. And I was having this argument with the Lord as I'm walking to the stage. So I got there and I ended up saying a prayer that the sun would shine. I sort of went halfway. I said, Lord, and I kept my eyes so tightly shut. I said, Lord, it would be great today if the rain would stop and the sun would shine. And you could hear this, I mean, it's a crowd of about 80,000 people. And we're all done. And I gingerly opened my eyes at the end of my prayer and lo and behold, there's the sun shining.
Oh, wow.
And I felt so bad.
Sure.
I felt good, but I felt bad. Yeah. I thought, wow, this is good that we're, not in the cold anymore. But I thought, and I made a commitment to the Lord. I said, okay, I will speak what you tell me. Because up to that point, I'd never had one that impacting or that big, other than some Ozfire prophecies I gave many years ago. But So I said that. And when we came back to Sydney, there was this headline saying the Warragamba Dam's never going to have water again. Mm. It's at 25%. It's never going to rise above that. And the Lord spoke to me after weeks of seeing this headline because of the drought. I went up on the pulpit one day and the Lord said to me, he didn't say anything to me, actually. I saw a vision of Warragamba Dam overflowing.
I remember this.
Yeah. And I thought again, God, I can't say that.
Sounds like foolishness.
I can't say that. All the scientists, they've all said it's never going to happen again. And he said to me, remember Korea.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that part of the story before. Wow.
So I said,
that's cool.
Okay. And I went for it. And that dam has overflowed five times since then.
Yeah.
They're building a wall, I think, to 50 foot higher to keep it in. So I think what you're saying, Tammy, is really important, that courage is a big part of just launching out. And suddenly you're saying something. And I've found that sometimes you don't know what you're going to say.
Yes.
Until you start saying. Have you found that?
Absolutely. And I think even it's not always just from the pulpit. I mean, we are prophetic people. God has given us an ear to hear what the Lord is saying. And so sometimes that's in conversation.
Right.
That has happened this morning with a new member to our church. Met her up here this morning.
Incredible.
She's just started coming to church, started speaking about her history, and she was into tarot and New Age.
Right.
And you hear the prophetic word of God.
Right.
It's not a laying hands on prophetic moment.
Right.
It's a conversational prophetic word that you give in a moment that's off the pulpit, out of the lights, but it's hearing what God would say and then bringing that to people immediately when he asks you.
So good and so powerful because God's alive. And I imagine that when some people hear this kind of conversation that we're having, Vicky, that they would think, oh, that's for the sort of the fringe Christian world or whatever. But it should be core. It should be because it is one of the expressions of the love of God. And when you go to church, you want to feel like God notices that you're there. And not that you're looking for a word every week or even once a year. Maybe that you get a few in a lifetime. But I think that definitely every minister should be prepared to move in the Holy Spirit and hear from God and deliver something from the Lord to other people, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm reminded, like, Revelations 19:10, you know, that scripture says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
And so we want to hear what Jesus is saying now.
Yeah.
Like, what is God saying now? And that is the absolute essence of the prophetic. So
What do you think if he was writing a letter to our church or our church or the church, what would be that from your point of view?
Right now?
Yeah, tell me.
Right now, I honestly believe the Lord wants us to focus on spiritual realities because natural realities can be very discouraging, but the spiritual realities are the higher ones. And so I really believe, like, just the broad brushstroke exhortation, ministers, Christians, anyone, it's like we're seated in heavenly places and I believe God wants us to live with that mindset, with that focus.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And okay, so with that in mind, the tapping into the spiritual gifts that God has given us to build the church.
Yes.
I think the church grows because of the expression of spiritual gifts. And I personally think that tongues and prophecy are kind of your basic entry level giftings for every believer. So if you were to encourage somebody who might have buried that gift or just hidden it away and are a little bit nervous to use it, what's a baby step in the world of prophecy?
Look, baby step, firstly, in your prayer life, like I regularly, you know, I probably prophesy as much, if not more, in private than what I do in public. And it's pretty safe there, right? You know, no one else can hear what you're saying. It's not like you're going to offend someone potentially. So that's a good one. And, you know, before I was ever in ministry and I didn't actually have a lot of opportunity, like because of our church culture back in the day, we're talking the 80s, I didn't have a lot of expression. I'd have my antenna up in the workplace.
Right.
That's really where I cut my prophetic teeth.
Yeah.
And I was like, each morning I'm waking up, I'm on a mission from God. I'm, you know, I'm, well, God, if there's somebody who's woken up today asking, God, are you real?
Mm.
Bring me across their path.
Sure.
I don't want to, I'm not that interested in the people who aren't interested, but the ones who are looking for a sign, who need encouragement. And so that's a really
that's good thing,
a really good way to
start.
That
is so good because it's like it's like evangelism.
Oh yeah,
and you don't need to you don't need to bring it like this is the word of the Lord.
No, no, no.
You just need to say something that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on trains, I've been on buses, I've been the hairdresser, the nail technician, the massage therapist. They've all got a word from me at some point. And you know, and it's been more of, you know, along the lines of, look, I'm feeling. Look, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, and I, or if they don't, I'm a Christian, I tell them, look, look, I'm a Christian and I just have this feeling.
Yes.
Look, I just have this sense.
Beautiful.
And look, this mightn't mean something, but it might, you know, so it's kind of, you try to do it.
That great word. Conversational. Mm. Any other scripts like that? This might mean something.
Yeah, this might mean something.
I feel this.
Yeah, I feel this. Look, I've had this thought.
I've had this thought.
Yeah, or I've got this thought.
Right, and I think a good introduction into that zone is just asking, you know, in the conversation, a person, everybody's got, they're facing some pain right now.
Yeah.
So like you're talking about, you know, these people you've just met. And I guarantee you in their world, there's some point of pain.
Yeah.
And you can say, let's pray about that.
Mm.
And nobody's, I mean, you wouldn't say, let's prophesy about that. But
actually,
in
that's
the
really good point.
In the prayer, you can say, you know what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just feel like this is happening and boom, if it's a word of knowledge that nobody else but God would know about, they suddenly are realizing, man, God loves me.
Mm, yeah.
God knows me.
Yeah.
And you can bring a real experience of the love of God into people's worlds, no doubt about it. I think, like we said at the beginning, prophecies it can be easy to be abused.
Mm.
And so it's important that it's in a safe environment, I think, that that people are hearing the word of the Lord. I think people who I've had people say, look, I'm going to stand up in church and prophesy. And my thing is, I'd prefer you write it out, give it to me, and maybe I'll say it.
Mm.
And for them, that's an affront because they say, no, it's given to me. I've got to stand up in the middle of everything else and just interrupt and say this thing. And I think, well, that's not really good church order. I think let everything be done decently and in order and let everything be done start, but let it be done in a way that doesn't make you look weird. Mm. And so and also all the prophets wrote their prophecies out and I read them for them and they still work today. So I can't see why it diminishes the power of the word if the person who didn't get it actually isn't saying it. And I feel like there's a lot of areas to do with this. At C3 College here in Sydney or our online college, we talk about this in extensively. In fact, both Vicky and Tammy will be teaching and do teach in that college and prophesy over people. We have days at the end of the course, an entire day given to praying for the students and prophesying in that area because we want to stir up the gift. We know that when people exercise the gifts that they've been given, the gift of the Spirit, that the wind of God will blow and we will get a move of God. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important that we fan into flame the gifts that God has given us, that we do not neglect them. Paul said, don't neglect that gift that God's given you. Don't leave it on the side for the sake of whatever, respectability, traditional thinking, fear. I think that we are living in an hour when more and more we are desperately in need of a tornado of the Holy Spirit, a rushing mighty wind throughout our whole world. So I would like to say thank you to Tam and to Vicky. Thanks a lot.
It's been great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Too fun.
Great to see you both. And I know that We're looking forward to a brilliant future. Hey, look, guys, today, thanks for again for jumping on board. Hit the subscribe button so that you get this podcast coming into your inbox every week. And we'll have fresh content for you each week. We're getting enough of these to almost do it twice a week. I just saw Joanne, our producer, lift an eyebrow. But anyway, we will certainly be delivering because we're finding a lot of people are enjoying these. You can also, if you're interested in further discovery about C3 College online, go to our website in SYD. Many of our churches use the C3 College online around the world as their Bible college. And so I'm teaching on that, and there's a vast array of great teaching and teachers who are in that particular component. So looking forward to talking with you again next week. See you then.